Today, we're going to continue our discussion in the epistles. We want everybody that's a believer to be epistolated. And if you follow us on Facebook, you know that every day I put a verse on Facebook from one of the epistles. And on Facebook, we're all the way up to Hebrews chapter 11. I put one of my favorite verses up today, Hebrews 11, 6. Did anybody see that this morning? And that's one of my favorite verses. Listen, I want to say something about that book of Hebrews. If there's one book in the New Testament in the epistles that you would do yourself a favor reading more than once, it would be the book of Hebrews. It's phenomenal. It's one of the reasons why I know things that I don't know. We've asked this question during this Bible lesson. Have you been epistolated? Have you been epistolated? But everything that you have ever thought, believed, heard, read, or seen about God has to be reevaluated in light of the truths that are found in the epistles. And today, we're going to get into what I consider to be the guts or the core truth that's found in the epistles after the foundational truth that we're saved by grace through faith. Everybody understands that now, right? The book of Romans was written to remind us and to tell us that salvation doesn't come by the works of the law, but salvation comes as a gift from God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we're justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's found in Christ Jesus. And the Apostle Paul was given that revelation by the Holy Spirit, and he dedicated his life to getting that message out, and it cost him everything in the natural, but he was willing to pay the price because prior to his conversion to the Lord, he was a Pharisee, and he was bound up by the law, and he got set free from it, and he wanted everybody to know this wonderful information. Now, some people would say, you know, that was 2,000 years ago, and it's not that way today. Yes, it's that way today. Billions upon billions of people are still trying to get right with God by what they do instead of getting right with God by what they believe. Man, we need to write that down. You get right with God by what you believe. You believe that Jesus died for your sins, and you believe that Jesus rose from the dead for your justification. And Ephesians tells us that by grace you're saved through faith. That's what the book of Romans was primarily written about. And then we dealt with 1 Corinthians, which was dealing with church behavior and church questions. If you've been following along, it's my opinion that those epistles probably needed to be moved back. They went in order of the length of the epistles. In my opinion, those epistles probably needed to be later in the back of the epistles, but they are where they are, and they're full of truth, and they're full of great information. But we spent a lot of time talking about the fact we called them, Teresa loved my title on a couple of those wacky Corinthians. You know, we talked about the fact that they were misbehaving over communion. They weren't using the gift of tongues properly. And so we dealt with that. And then we dealt with the fact that even though they were screwed up, and I think we can say that about all the church, even though the Corinthians were messed up, God still poured all of his gifts out on them. Amen. And so they operated the gifts of healing, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, working of miracles. And so we spent one Sunday telling everybody that that's how it ought to be in every church. That's how it ought to be in every church. And I propose to you, and I mean, we're guilt life. Remember, I gave myself an F, remember? And then Chris felt bad for me and told me I could take an incomplete. But every church ought to be operating the gifts. And I've said this, and I'll still say it. I don't know if any of us have ever really experienced a New Testament church. We've experienced pieces of it, parts of it. But I'm talking about where the gifts of the Spirit are operating and the Lord can let you know. See, back in the day, in the book of Acts, he would let them know when a drought was in a certain area, and they would send things over to that region to help them in the time of need. Somebody said, how come there was a drought? You know what? I don't know everything. All I can tell you is there was a drought, and the Holy Spirit would let those people know that there was a drought in a certain part of the, of the area, and then the saints would take an offering up to help the people in that area. I told you the story of Jamie Womack, how the Lord told her back in 2009 to sell her stocks right before the housing crash, and then about 6 months later, he told her to buy stocks, and she made a bunch of money. I'd like for him to have told me that, but, you know, I'm busy doing other things sometimes. See how it works? And then in 1 Corinthians, we spent last Sunday, and I had a really good time doing that, and I tried to be so honest and forthright with that situation. We spent last Sunday talking about the fact that Jesus is coming back, right? Is he coming back, saints?
Yes.
Is he coming back? And could it be today?
Sure.
Could it be today? The same Jesus, remember what the angel said? This same Jesus that went into heaven is the same Jesus that's coming back to him, coming back from heaven to the earth. And I told you that I changed my theological position a little bit. I might actually be a mid-tribber now instead of a pre-tribber, but either way, I don't believe that God's appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I am in complete agreement with John the Apostle, who wrote the last words in the book of Revelation, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Mm-hmm. So today we are going to talk about 2 Corinthians, and we're going to introduce what I believe is the other thing that you have to realize after you realize that you're saved by grace through faith, after you realize that God has saved you, not by works of righteousness, which you have done, but according to his mercy. The other thing that we're going to learn today is that when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not the same person you used to be. You're a new creation. Can I get an amen? So the title of today's sermon is New Creation. New Creation. And I'm going to come to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, is the first time we're introduced to this amazing concept. Now, we've already learned through Romans that we're saved by grace through faith. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is the first time we're introduced to the phrase new creation. And I'm proposing to you that that is, again, one of the things that every believer has to know is that you're not the same person you used to be when you received Jesus as Lord and Savior. So 2 Corinthians 5:17, famous verse. Again, we're using the HCSB translation, which I don't mind. HCSB translation. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, new things have come. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a, and she," we're not going to leave the ladies out. We don't want anybody to get mad at us. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation." That's the first time in the epistles that you find the phrase new creation. Now, Jesus introduced the subject and introduced the process in John chapter 3, but I'm not going to go there because of time, because I want to stay in the epistles because we're being epistle-lighted. But Jesus told Nicodemus, one of the most religious men of the day, that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Remember that? He said, and listen, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit." What we're going to start doing in these next epistles, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, we're going to start having built inside of us the thought process that we're not the same creature we used to be. Now, people get all hung up on that because people don't understand what part of them becomes a new creature. Remember, Jesus said that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Let me say it like this. That which is born of the natural body is the natural body, and that which is born of the spiritual body is the spirit. See, there is an inside person on the inside of every one of us. Peter calls it the hidden person of the heart. We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. And so people get hung up with us as Christians because we go around spouting that we're new creatures. But, and I'm just saying this for teaching purposes, if we were overweight when we got saved, and unless we went on a really, really crash diet, we'd still be overweight right after we got saved. See, in other words, the outward man doesn't look any different. It's not the outward man that's born again. It's the person on the inside. It's the hidden man of the heart that becomes a new creation. Now, I got a lot to say on it, but let me just show you that it's a theme that's consistent with the epistles. And anytime you have a theological position, you got to be able to back it up by the mouth of two or three witnesses or two or three New Testament verses. So I'm going to come back to my thoughts, but I want to read some more verses. So 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The next verse says, Galatians 6:15. Notice this now. Notice, what books are we reading from out there, everybody? What books are we reading from? The epistles. The epistles. These are epistle-like truths. And you're not going to know this, and you're not going to live in the reality of this unless you become epistle-lighted. For both circumcision and uncircumcision means nothing. Isn't that something? Look at that. Boy, don't you know that made the Jews mad back in the day? Man, they were all about circumcision. You must be circumcised. Somebody said, well, it's not that way today. Well, my gosh, they'll kick you out of some churches if you haven't been baptized in water, especially the way they do it, or if you don't receive communion every Sunday, or, you know, we get all bound up by stuff that don't mean anything relative to our salvation. Are you listening to me? For both circumcision and uncircumcision mean nothing. What matters instead is a new creation. There it is. There's two places that we find that phraseology. What matters is a new creation. See that? What part of us is new? The person on the inside, our spirit. And that's what separates Christianity from religion. And I want to get into that, but let me read one more verse, because from the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Let's read the next verse. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of unperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. Let's say that out loud, everybody. I want to make sure we're all listening. Ready? Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. Now, let me take a moment to teach on this for a minute. Let me tell you what separates true Christianity from religion. And I have to tell you, I have to be upfront with you, I had a genuine conversion experience in July of 1978, most of you, I mean, I guess all of you, except our new folk over there that have been so faithful in attending, I guess everybody else has pretty much heard my testimony or know my testimony, but I became a new creation in July of 1978 between Lebanon, Kentucky and Loretta, Kentucky, one summer night. And I knew I was a new creation. I didn't know what, I mean, let me say this to you. I knew something had happened to me on the inside. I knew I was changed on the inside. And of course, I had never read the Bible, so I didn't know exactly what it meant, but I knew something had changed on the inside of me. And I have to tell you, it's one of the reasons why I emphatically teach this, because I've had a genuine conversion experience, and I want everybody else to be converted the same way, because religion won't get you saved. And the difference between genuine, true Christianity is we aren't just going through life operating some religion so that God will count us worthy at the end of our life. True Christianity means that you receive something from God in this life. not when you get to heaven. Your sins aren't covered. Your sins aren't overlooked. Your sins are actually removed and remitted, and God actually makes you a brand new person on the inside. That's why Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Because our nature, every person's born with Adam's nature, every person's born with the sin nature, and in order to come in contact with God, he has to give you, listen to this now, he has to give you his nature. 2 Peter 1:3, look at this with me. 2 Peter 1:3, it might be 1:4, but it's 2 Peter, this is real important what we're talking about here. And remember now, I know most of y'all have heard this stuff in the pews this morning, in the chairs this morning, but remember verse 4, it's verse 4, James. By these, he has given us very great and precious promises so that through them, you may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world because of evil desires. See, Christianity is not you doing something for God. Christianity is God doing something for you. Oh man, some of these things you got to write down. By these promises, by these precious promises that Jesus fulfilled, by these he has given us very great and precious promises so that through them you may share in the divine nature. You see what happened to me on that highway in 1978 in that 1976 Ford Comet or Mercury Comet, some kind of comet that didn't go very fast. I got a new nature. I got the divine nature of God. And I knew it. I knew something had changed. Now, I didn't know that's what I got until I read it in the Bible. And then when I read it in the Bible, I said, yeah, that's what I got. And that's what everybody has to get to become a member of the household of faith. Are you listening to me? See, and again, everything that I'm telling you, all this stuff I'm telling you, I know some people say, man, you know, the Bible, especially the New Testament, especially the epistles. But the reason why I do is I've read them. And I've read them more than once. I've read them more than twice. I've read them. And what I hope you see is going on, if you're following with us in the epistles, I hope you see how it's all connected. I'm getting so much out of the book of Hebrews through this journey in the epistles. And it's been a long, I've read that. That probably is the one epistle I've read the most because it's so rich and deep. But all these things I'm telling you, it's not because I'm some savant or anything like that. I've read these things in the epistles and God's revealed it to me. And you see, Christianity is about receiving what God has to give you. And religion is about you trying to get God to receive what you have. God don't want what you have. He don't want it. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. See, that's a mistake. See, again, I'm going to say something else, and this is going to sound like I'm bragging, but I'm only trying to illustrate to you that I'm being led of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit ministers through me so it'll help other people listen to this stuff. See, that was what was wrong with Cain's offering. Did you know that? That's why God rejected Cain's offering. He was offering stuff he produced. He was offering, you know, that's the very first time in my life I realized that and know that. The Holy Spirit just showed me that. That's why his offering wasn't any good. He brought stuff he grew and stuff he produced and offered it to God. God don't want what we have. You know why he doesn't want what we have? Not because he doesn't love us. He loves us. He loves us so much he sent Jesus to die for us. He doesn't want what we have because it's contaminated by sin. And Jesus, there is no sin in him. He who knew no sin, this is 2 Corinthians, the verse I started from. He who knew no sin, Jesus, was made to be sin so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. See, that's what separates real Christianity from religion. And I just want people that are listening to me that have been in church all their life, I want you to evaluate and ask yourself, has there been a moment in my life where I passed from death to life? Because God gives us his divine nature as a gift. And remember now, it's received by grace through faith. You got to believe it. You got to receive it. Remember, for as many as received Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who are born, here it is, not of the flesh nor the will of man, but are born of God. You know, I used to go over and do these programs on the radio before we wised up and started just taking off Sunday services and things like that. But I used to go over and do the radio program live for Sunday services. And I will guarantee you that John 1:12 was probably the verse I read the most, because you have to keep reminding people that you have to receive what God's willing to give everybody. God's willing to give it to everybody. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. Is that correct?
Amen.
And what does he give us? He gives us his nature. We're partakers of the divine nature. We're new creations. And it's not, our bodies aren't new creatures. Our minds don't become brand new, but our spirits become born again and become partakers of God's divine nature. That's why we're new creations. And that's what sets true Christianity apart. So if you've been involved in a church, or you've been involved in some religion, and you have no knowledge of ever receiving a new nature, or having a point in your life where you were without Christ, but now you have Christ, then you need to receive the Lord. That's all there is to it. And don't be embarrassed. Don't worry about what your family thinks, and don't worry about what your wife might think or your kids. Heaven or eternity is a lot longer than this life. And you need to realize that the only way to gain access to the true and living God, and I'm telling you, of course, we're going to be persecuted for saying it, but that's okay. It's part of the deal. You can't avoid tribulation and persecution. It's part of the deal. But I'm telling you, the only way to gain access to the true and living God of the Bible is to receive his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you do that, he gives you his nature. Man, what a deal. Is that a pretty good deal? I don't think they got that deal at Walmart or Target or Fry's. And I know they don't have it at the gas station. All right. Y'all cool? Y'all see that? Y'all understand that? I know. And listen, what I hope happens to you, not just everybody there in the church, but I hope people that are listening by radio and internet, and I want to give a shout out to Bryant for the fine job he's doing to get this on Facebook. And so people can actually look at this live and in person on Facebook through our Life in Christ Facebook page. But what I want to see happen to people is for you to hear some of these things and get interested enough that you'll open your Bible up and let the Holy Spirit reveal these things to you. See, I became a new creature. I received a new nature, God's nature. And then somebody put a Bible in my hands, and I was divinely led by God to get in the epistles. And I'll be honest with you. I'll be completely honest with you. I probably learned more about being a new creature in my personal Bible study time than I did about knowing about being saved by grace through faith. Now, I knew I was saved by grace through faith, but I'm talking about, and anybody that's done this, you know what I'm talking about. I had a deeper revelation of being a new creature than I did about grace. And then, but see, God, I stayed with God and didn't quit on him, and he didn't quit on me, thank goodness. But in the process of time, I learned so much about grace, and both of those things together, that information together, will equip you to be able to overcome the rotten, stinking devil, who's the god of this world. Can I get an amen? Everybody tracking with me? Let's go over to a passage of scripture. I guess the next verse should be Ephesians 4, I believe. Ephesians 4:24. Now watch this. The title of the sermon is New Creation, and we're getting introduced in 2 Corinthians to the concept that we're new creatures, that our spirit's been born again, that we've been born again, and we have received God's divine nature. I want to show you this because now it'll make sense. When we talk about God's divine nature, you're going to get a picture of what his nature is as opposed to what our nature is. And we're going to have to talk about this next week too, because I got to come back and tell you why it's so difficult to live from your new nature. It is a difficult thing to live from your new nature, because you're three parts, your spirit, soul, and body, and your body is connected to the natural world. And if you let your body and your mind connect more, I'm going to throw this in so I'll get it said and we'll talk about it better. But if you let your body and mind connect more to the natural world, it'll dominate you more than the man on the inside will. Is there an honest believer out there that'll raise their hand and say, yes, Mark, that is true.
Yes, Mark,
I got my hand up. Teresa's got her hand up. Jordan doesn't have his hand up, but Teresa's helping him get his hand up right now. There we go. All right. If you spend more time in the natural world and you focus your mind on natural things, your flesh is going to dominate you. But if you'll get in the Holy Bible, primarily in these epistles, and I mean it, I'm telling you, these epistles are spirit food for the spirit man. Say that with me. The epistles, say it with me. The epistles are spirit food for the spirit man. And if you'll feed your spirit on these epistles and turn off the noise of the world, your spirit will dominate you, and the divine nature of God will dominate you. Us. Let me help everybody. So, because again, you know, one of the things I like to do is to make sure nobody thinks I act like I'm Saint Mark. Although I am a saint. Everybody knows I'm a saint, right? Leslie's a saint, right? Beverly's a saint. We're all saints. But I mean, I don't want people to think I'm better than them or that all I do is sit in a room somewhere and fast and pray. Most people can tell I'm not doing that. Let me tell you, in my life, remember I got born again in 1978 and became a new creature. And I'm going to tell you, and I don't have the exact time frame. I wish I had paid more attention to the time frame, but I'm going to tell you, for about 6 months, I didn't do anything but live, breathe, and eat the Bible. That's all I did. And I'm going to tell you, my flesh gave me hardly no trouble at all. It didn't give me any trouble at all, because I lived, breathed, and ate the Word. And all I wanted to do was know more about the Bible. I wasn't worried about the flesh, but through the process of time, and I was a young person and blah, 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 I began to pay less and less attention to the Bible and more attention to other things around me. And before long, the old Mark Browning showed up way more than the new Mark Browning. It's just that simple. Just that simple. And then I went through an actual period of time. I went through, this may help some people, I went through a 5-year period where I walked away from everything. I didn't want anything to do with any of it. Now, the Holy Spirit never gave up on me, but I wasn't focused on the Lord, and I didn't read my Bible a lick. But I was coming back. I came home from Korea. I'd spent a year in Korea, and my dad drove out here with me in my 1984 Camaro. Some of these stories, some of y'all will remember. And on the way out here, me and him listened to Kenneth Hagin tapes. And, you know, he didn't beat me up over the head. He did it the right way. And we listened to Kenneth Hagin tapes. He knew if I listened to those tapes, it'd get me interested again. Anyway, long story short, I rededicated my life when I got here to Fort Huachuca. And I've never completely backslid since. Can I get an amen? Does everybody know what I mean? I haven't completely backslid since. See, I completely backslid for 5 years, but after that period of time, I didn't completely backslide. But I had a lot of other things going on. I was running them. I got into accounting, and then through the process of time, I got my own business and so forth and so on. Anyway, and I started Life in Christ Ministries on September 22nd, 1996. And you know what? I'm going to tell you the real truth. This is hard to believe, but I'll tell you the real truth. I was operating on everything I learned 6 months into my salvation. Because, I mean, I got deep with the Lord for 6 months. I got deep with Him. And I was operating on that. But guess what? I ran out of gas. And I came close to some kind of a breakdown. And I know a lot of people don't believe that, but that is true. I did. I came close to some kind of breakdown. The devil got on my trail. And I went to the Lord and said, man, what's going on? And of course, He encouraged me to get back in the Bible. So anyway, I want to tell you one other thing. So I spent a quality amount of time, one more time in my life. Again, we're so silly. We have to get in trouble sometimes before we'll turn to God. Isn't that terrible? Why can't we just, I mean, you know why? It's because we just don't really, we don't have a complete and full understanding of how much God loves us. I'm telling you. And that He's not out to get us. And He's not judging us for every little thing we do. And let's be honest, all this stuff can be found in the great parable of the sower sows the seed. All of it can be found in there. That's why everybody needs to live in that parable that Jesus taught. But anyway, I got in trouble. I got back in the Bible, and I got back in the Bible in a very diligent, sincere way. And guess what? Guess what? Lo and behold, my flesh wasn't giving me trouble anymore. Isn't that something? I mean, I'm just telling you the truth. I mean, literally, I was back. I wasn't quite back to where I was when I first got saved in that 6 month period, but I was close. And I was just walking in the Word, and God restored me, and I didn't have any kind of a breakdown where I had to spend any money to do anything for help. I got back on track. And guess what? After that, because things got better, I did less reading and things like that. It's just amazing how we are. But I will say this. I will say this. Since that event, that was probably around 2014, 12, 13, something like that. Yeah, it was even before the church split, because I handled that with ease. I will say this, because I got a hold of the message of grace, and I realize that God loves me in spite of me. I have been pretty consistent in my Bible reading. I have been. Probably the thing that I probably need to do more is spend more time meditating and hanging out with like-minded believers. There's just not that many to be able to find to hang out with. Don't shout me down now just because I'm telling it like it is. So anyway, I brought that up to say to you that there is a place in the Lord where you can walk in the freedom of the Spirit. But you got to make the decision that you're going to spend more time in the Word and more time with Him than you are in the things in the natural. And if you don't, you're not going to look that different than the natural people. That's all there is to it. When you get over to Ephesians chapter 4, he tells you this in verse 24. You put on the new self. I like the word man, the new man. And that's what the New King James says. You put on the new man, the one created according to God's likeness in righteousness and purity of truth. Got it? See, this person that you have received from God on the inside, this new creature is God's nature. It's God has recreated you in His image and likeness. If you look at the Amplified Translation, you'll see it says that you've been created in true righteousness and holiness. If you look that up in the Amplified Translation. So your spirit's actually been made in the image and likeness of God. So watch what your characteristics should start being when you receive this new nature. Since you put away lying, speak the truth. See, here's what I want you to see. See, God doesn't lie. God doesn't lie. God tells the truth. And so because we've received His nature, we should be telling the truth. Isn't that right? I'm bringing this up for several reasons. You're not going to do this all the time. There's no sense kidding yourself about it. There's a couple of reasons I'm going this direction. First of all, I want you to recognize that on the inside of you, you don't want to lie. Can I get an amen? Amen. If you're a new creature in Christ, you don't want to lie. You don't want to, because God doesn't lie. See that? Since you put away lying, speak the truth, each one to his neighbor, because we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, and don't give the devil an opportunity. The thief must no longer steal. Instead, he must do honest work with his own hands so that he has something to share with anyone in need. See that? That's God's nature. God's nature doesn't ask other people to be sufficient. God has his own sufficiency. And notice that God's not a thief. God doesn't steal. So we found out God doesn't lie and God doesn't steal. Here's what I want you to understand and see. If you're a new creature in Christ, you don't want to lie. And if you're a new creature in Christ, you don't want to steal anymore. Can I get an amen? Amen. Y'all see where I'm going? You've got to remember the first 6 months of my salvation and through that period in 2012, you've got to build this on the inside of you till you see the image of that on the inside of it. You got to see this on the inside of it. Because how many of you can raise your hand and be honest to say it's real easy to lie? It's real easy. Real easy. It's easy to lie. But you're not a liar. Now, you used to be. Our old nature, man, when I was, before I was a new creature, I was a world champion liar. And so I have to be conscious of that as a new creature in Christ to make sure that I don't go over to the old nature and lie. I got to make sure I tell the truth. Got it? But do I have the ability not to lie now? Yes, because why? I am a new creature. Listen, look at verse 29. No foul language is to come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need. Ooh, look at Jordan's face just got red, y'all. Jordan's face just got red. Because I got to tell you, sometimes he's gone beyond just cussing Tuesday. I hope y'all get a hold of that. But here's the thing. So does God speak in foul language? Does he have a foul mouth? No. So that it gives grace to those who hear. Did I read that part of it? But only what is good for building up someone in need, so that it gives grace to those in need. So we ought to be speaking words of grace. We ought to be speaking words of grace. And don't grieve God's Holy Spirit. You were sealed by him for the day of redemption. Listen to this. All bitterness, anger, and wrath, shouting, and slander must be removed from you, along with all malice. Now, here's where I'm going with this. And again, none of this is being presented to put anybody under any condemnation and to run you off. I don't want to run anybody off. I want people to come and hear what we got to say. I'm telling you this because you need to understand that all these things are on the inside of you because you become a partaker of God's divine nature. Can I say something to everybody, including the minister? You know, when I'm not happy, it's easy as pie. It's when I'm not living from my new nature, because that's who I really am. I really am. I don't want to lie. I don't want to be mad. I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to talk bad. I don't. And I'm not happy when I go that direction, because that's not who we really are. We have God's nature on the inside of us. Does that make sense? Can anybody else relate to that? Can anybody else understand where I'm coming from? Can anybody else say how easy it is to get over into that old nature and just kind of lay there and settle there? It's easy to do. And that's the reason why you got to stay in these epistles and read these epistles and keep reminding yourself. See, that's what Peter said. I won't be negligent to remind you of these things. You got to remind yourself, you know what? I'm not a liar. I'm not a thief. I don't talk with a foul mouth. Amen. Mm-hmm. Now watch this. Now it talks about the characteristics of God. I'm going to need chapter 5 to come up here too. And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you. Is that not amazing?
In Christ.
It's just as God also forgave you in Christ. So here's what I want you to see. See what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get you to understand this is all part of your new nature. Now, listen, it's not in your mind. It's in your spirit. You got to bring it from your spirit to your mind. You got to bring it from your spirit to your mind. And notice that in your spirit, the kindness and the compassion of God is on the inside of us. Not only do we have the kindness and the compassion of God on the inside of us, we have God's forgiveness on the inside of us. We can forgive anybody of anything because God's on the inside of us. And don't tell me that God hadn't forgiven people of stuff that's unbearable, because he has. And so we can too. So I want you to see, again, this is not, I hope people aren't just now tuning in and saying, oh, there's a preacher talking about all the things I can't do and all the things I need to be doing. I'm talking to New Testament believers. I'm talking to new creatures. Am I talking to new creatures?
Yes.
Leslie said yes. Chris said yes. I'm bringing these things to your attention so you'll know that this is on the inside of you and this is the way we ought to be behaving. We have God's kindness. We have God's compassion. We have God's forgiveness. Chapter 5, verse 1. Watch this. Therefore, here it is. Here it is. This is what I want you to see. Therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children. Why can we be imitators of God? Because we have his nature. You tracking? Now look, Jordan and Anna physically, they look more like their mom. But I got to tell you, I'm looking at Jordan now, and I'm telling you, from a natural standpoint, I can see some of me in him. The reason I'm bringing that up is because that's just on the natural side. On the inside of us, we're made in the image and likeness of God. See, that's why we can be imitators of God as dearly loved children. But you got to read these things. You got to find out these things. Listen, I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings right here, right now. You got to get out of an old dead church that's giving you nothing but religion, that's telling you all the things you got to do so God will do something for you. I'm telling you that God already did these things for you because you received Jesus by faith, and these things are on the inside of you, and you can bring these things out of you because they belong to you because God gave them to you. Man, I can't say that any better than that. I wish I could, but I can't. See, therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children and walk in love as the Messiah also loved us and gave himself for us a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. I'm going to just read real fast. But sexual immorality and any impurity or greed should not even be heard of among you, as is proper for saints. Coarse and foolish talking or crude joking are not suitable, but rather giving thanks. You got that? See that? Again, I didn't do all this to put anybody under conviction, but if these are things that you're bound up by, you need to get set free from it. But I brought this to your attention and to my attention to let me know that on the inside of me is God's nature. And God doesn't lie. God doesn't steal. God doesn't talk with foul language. God expects everybody to be self-sufficient and work with their hands because he's provided everything we'll need. God is tenderhearted. God is compassionate. God is kind. God is forgiving. And that's on the inside of us, and that's how we are to behave. And listen, the world desperately wants to see people operate that. They do. They want to see the real church. They don't want to see religion. Religion doesn't do anybody any good. Religion's killed more people than the coronavirus. But there's been way worse things than that. Religion's killed more people than anything because there's no power in religion. There's power in true Christianity. You're not the same creature you used to be. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get an amen? Now, listen, let's stand up on our feet and let's make sure we offer this to folk that are listening by radio and internet. I trust that people have tuned in and could hear this and comprehend what we're saying. Do you all see the need and the necessity to be able to read the Bible and read these epistles for yourself? You see that? You need to put it in front of your eyes. Proverbs 4 says, God's word is life to those that find it and health to all our flesh. And we're to keep it in the midst of our heart and let it not depart from before our eyes. See, I guarantee you, if we could get in a place in our life where we could train ourselves to see who we are in Christ, and that's what we're going to be doing in 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, we're going to get a picture of who we are in Christ. If we could train ourselves to see who we are in Christ, it would make life so much sweeter. Because this is not something we've got to do to get God to give it to us. I am going to say this until it registers on all of us. This is not something we have to do to get God to give it to us. This is something we do because God has already given it to us. I have love on the inside of me. I have kindness on the inside of me. I have peace on the inside of me. I have joy on the inside of me, and it's in my spirit. It's in the hidden person of the heart. And God has given me his nature. Can you say amen to that? Does that help you? Let me say this to you. I had y'all stand up, and you're probably mad at me, but let me say this to you too. How many of you before you came to church looked in a mirror to see how you look, see if your hair was made, brushed your teeth, combed your hair. Now, how many of you looked in a mirror? Here's what I want you to understand. The epistles, these letters, they're your spiritual mirror that you got to look into and see that reflection back. You got to see that reflection back. You got to see that. You got to say, you know what? I'm not the old Mark Browning. The old Mark Browning lied. The old Mark Browning stole. The old Mark Browning was mad and angry and discouraged and self-centered. I'm a new creature in Christ. The new Mark Browning has God's love on the inside of him. The new Mark Browning has God's peace. The new Mark Browning has God's joy. The new Mark Browning can do all things through Christ who strengthens him, because I'm a partaker of God's divine nature. See, that's the mirror that I have to build on the inside of me. And that's what I need to see back. Y'all see that? Amen. Father, we just give you the glory, honor, and praise for your word. Thank you what you did for us through the Lord Jesus. If you're listening by radio and internet and you realize this morning, maybe for the first time, that you've just been bound up by religion and you're trying to gain access to God by something you do, don't make the same mistake Cain made. Don't make that mistake. Gain access to God by receiving what God did for you. Jesus is God's free gift to the whole world, and it is to be received by faith. You're simply to acknowledge that what you couldn't do, Jesus did for you. Yes. And what God asked you to do is simply receive Jesus. So say this prayer with me. And listen, if you're a churchgoer and you've been a Christian and you know you've been born again, but you've gotten roped into religious thinking, just ask God to forgive you. Get in the epistles, Romans through Jude. Get in there and read these epistles. Find out about grace and faith, and find out about being a new creature in Christ Jesus. And you'll start the process of overcoming the world in Jesus' holy name. Say this with me, everybody. Say, dear God, I recognize that I need Jesus. I know that he's my only way to the living God. And I am willing to receive God's free gift. Of eternal life that comes through Jesus Christ. So I say with my mouth, because I believe in my heart, Jesus, you died for my sins, and you rose from the dead,
for my sanctification.
And I am now, by faith,
a child of God,
because I have
received Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Now I'm going to let that settle a minute. Holy Spirit, I just ask you that anybody that prayed that prayer, that you would minister to them right there and take that word and show them that they're now a new creature in Christ Jesus. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in the holy name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank y'all.